We continue in the Tanya with the commentary of the Chassidus Mevueres. We're on Perek He, first section of Perek He, page Resh Tes in the middle. We're talking about the wondrous unity that happens between a human being and Hashem when the human being is engaged in learning Torah. And the Baal Tanya discussed the idea of tfisa, grasping. And although one cannot grasp Hashem per se, but you can grasp His Torah. And at the same time that you are grasping the information is grabbing hold of you. And he continues this idea on page Resh Tes, the words of the Baal Tanya. Mikol Makom, still in all. We're talking about learning various laws, even the laws that don't apply. Still in all, after the fact that it is God's will and His wisdom, that if a person would make such and such a claim, and another person would make another claim, this is the law. This is what Hashem's will is. It doesn't matter if it's practical, it's going to happen or not. Once a person comprehends, knows and comprehends with his intellect the rendering of the law, as it is arranged in the Mishnah, or Gemara or Poskim, or in the Gemara and the Poskim, he has now comprehended, grasped, and has surrounded with his intellect the will and the wisdom of Hashem. The leis machshava tfisa bei velo bertzon v'chachmaso, that nobody can, no one can think and a grasp of Hashem Himself and His will and His wisdom. Kim bislap shusam b'halachas haruchos lefanenu. We can't understand Hashem, what He thinks. We can't understand anything except the way His wisdom is enclosed within the arranged halachas that are before us. That is the only thing we can. Explains the Chassidus Mevueres. Afal pi shaleis machshava tfisa beiv lo bertzon v'chachmaso, even though the Baal Tanya says no one can grasp Hashem per se and His wisdom and His will, b'chozo still in all, al yidei limud Torah, by learning Torah, which is God's chachma and His desire, the way it is enclosed within the halachas. Next page, reshud. Hine lo zubovad shenotzer kesher kivyochel mikadosh baruch hu b'vodat. So not only will this learning of Torah develop a relationship, a connection, as it were, between Hashem and you, with Hashem, ela shahakesher hu b'derech tfisa. But this connection is one of grasping. Through one's understanding of the Torah, there's a grasping, a total unity. Zosomeres, this means to say, means to say that the intellect of the person obligates and forces, as is possible, based on God's wisdom. In other words, that the human being's intellect now is changed. It forces him to think in a certain way. Why? As Hashem's wisdom forces you to think. And that's how that person bonds with God's will. So it comes out that the person's chachma and Hashem's chachma are unified together and they become one. You know, on a simple level, you know, the way God views the world. Right? You learn that. That's the way God views the world. That's the way you now view the world. And you become one with that knowledge of Hashem. It's not just you, it's not just we're doing something together, you know, but you're developing that attitude to life. So, if you're learning the laws of a Ben Sora Mora, which is our halacha, that one rabbi in the world says it never happened. The son, the recalcitrant son, it never happened. But you're now learning an attitude towards parenting. is a Jewish attitude to parenting, that you are at one with Hashem's will and your will on one. Your whole view of the world is now changed totally based on the way Hashem wants the world to be. And that's a tremendous connection. That part of Hashem is integrated into you. Continues the words of the Baal Tanya. Vegam sichlo melubish bem. Also your intellect is enclosed in them, explains the Chassidus Mefores. V'nosef lezeh shal dehasogas chachmas ha-torah chachmas ratzon nisbrach nitfasim betoch seichel ha-odom v'nasis chelek bimenu. Besides the fact that through the person comprehending the chachma of the Torah, and meaning to say that the chachma and the will of Hashem are grasped inside the intellect of the man and becomes part of the human being, besides that, he knows also more than that. As he's learning the halacha, at the moment that he's learning, and he's engrossed in that studying, that all the forces of his intellect are all enclosed and focused. He says in Yiddish, "Farchapt." They're grabbed by God's wisdom and will. Right. In a way that he can't even think about anything else at that time, as we've explained before. If you're totally into trying to understand a Gemara, trying to understand a concept, then you are totally grabbed and enclosed within God's intellect. The intellect has grabbed you. That's on the other. That's coming from the other direction. When you're studying it, that seichel, topic of what Hashem has for you to learn is totally grabbing you. And then once you get it, now it's been incorporated into your lifestyle, into your mindset, and now you've assimilated it into your mindset. And now you've grabbed that. That's the two-way street. That's why the bracha that you make in the morning on learning of Torah is Asher K'Yishav Mitzvah V'Tzivano, not Lilmod Torah. Not to learn to la asok. La asok means to be engrossed in it. To be engrossed in it. You're totally involved in it. That's the mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah to learn. Learning would not be enough. You have to be engrossed in it. Like the word asek is a business. So when a person is running a business, if it's a successful business, when he's in the store, that's the only thing he's thinking about. There's only one thing he's thinking about. How much money am I going to make? That's what I'm in the business for. You don't think about other things. I mean, nowadays it's different. People aren't dedicated workers anymore. But, you know, it used to be when you went to work, that's all you did. You went to work. You weren't surfing the internet and goofing around having coffee breaks and all these mishigas. You could tell between the boss and the workers. The workers are taking breaks every montag and donnerstag. They're getting off as much as they can. The boss is always there. The boss is always there. That's the difference. You know, loyal worker, a mall, but usually not. But standard fare. You know, they go on strike. They couldn't care less. What do I care? What do I care about the business? Right? If you're la'asok, if it's your ASIC, if the Torah is your business, then you don't finish till you succeed in what you're doing. And that's during the learning and after the learning, there's this connection. Now, continues the Baal HaTanya, v'hu yichud nifla, this is a wondrous unity. Shein yichud kamohu, there's no unity like it. V'lo ke'erka nimtza klal v'gashmus, there's nothing like it in the physical realm. Nothing compares. Whenever you say the word, you know, we're unified, we're together, we're one. There's nothing in the physical world that compares to it. Liyos achad la'achadim, miyuchudim mamish mikol tzadupino. To be unified and unique, literally, from every side, explains the Chassidus Mefores. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hitpia b'koach haseichel sheba'odom tchuna miyuchedes. Hashem put in the nature of the power of an intellect a special nature, a unique nature. Shebekocho litzur yichud nifla ben shnei dvarim. The mind has the ability to fashion a wondrous unity between two things. What's that? Koach haseichel v'davar muskel. It's the power of the intellect, the mind, and that item that the person is thinking about, that topic, that concept that the person is thinking about. The mind has the ability to uniquely be unified with that. Shalomatzino shum yichud kaze. There's no other unity like that. And not even close to it when you're dealing in the physical world. There's nothing in the physical world that compares to it. Now he's going to explain why. Let's take any two physical things in the world and try to unify them. Even if they're mamish commingled, let's say you have a cholent. All right, I was going to make a cholent today, and we're going to make a unity between beans and potatoes and beef stew and some other nice ingredients, and now it's going to be one cholent. Still, but they're always two separate things. You can always pick out the potatoes from the beans. They're still two separate items. Balei tchuna shonos, with different natures. Elishis arvu v'isach tuyachat, but we've mixed them and bound them together. We've put them together. But it's not a total oneness. You could say, here's the beans, here's the potatoes. Or anything else in this world.
I was thinking of
what
like sugar and water, you can't.
On a molecular level, they're separate. Right?
I mean, for us,
the molecules are still separate.
It's still, molecularly speaking, they're definitely separate.
And if you'd heat it up, then they'd separate.
Yeah.
There'd be ways for it to separate.
Back to their original form.
Right? Two people, this is also going to be the difference, you know, between a Jewish marriage and a non-Jewish marriage. On the level of a non-Jewish marriage, two people together, they're still two separate entities. No matter how close they are, they're two, here's the husband, here's the wife. But the unity between the intellect and the topic, that's a definite unity. To the point, you don't have two separate things anymore. Why? They're uniquely one. From every side. Because that topic, that idea, that concept has now turned into being a part of the human being's intellect, and that is part of his knowledge. A human being is one with his knowledge. No question about it. There's values I have. That's who I am. Can't separate it from me. I believe in this. This is the way I live my life. The way I live my life is my life. That's based on values that I have. When you incorporate God's values into your life, that is part of you now. It's not a separate entity. Whatever I do in life is based on that idea. You learn a certain concept in Yiddishkeit. That is the way I operate. It's the way I think. It's the way I act based on that. And it is part of what I am. Lia Sabir. It's a further explanation. The information that a person absorbs into his mind is not something extra to his intellect. Reshit Alf. You can't say that the intellect has grasped this idea and now it's a separate thing. But that is now part of the intellect now. The more knowledge a person has, and he has grasped more concepts, that means his intellect is growing from the new knowledge that he has perceived. And he now has reached deeper understanding. The person now has grown. He's a bigger person. He has a bigger mind. If that's the case, you don't have two separate things. Sechel umuskol. You don't now have, after the fact, intellect and topic. Elohainu hein. These are them. That's a unity from every side. Let's take a look at footnote 19. Barak shekodem hasogas adover. Only before you've comprehended the topic. Nirgashim Koach Hasechel Vamuskul Kishnei Dvarim Nifarim. Do we sense that the intellect and the information are two separate things? Because that's, because then you're gonna grab it. The idea of tfisa. Tfisa means gonna grab it. But before I grab it, it's a separate idea. After you grasp it, actually, the concept, then the concept is totally unified within the person. Till you get it, it's beyond you. It's beyond that. That's what Shlomo Melech meant when he talked about the Paraduma. He says, I've studied and it's still beyond me. Certain parts of Torah, you know, to a certain degree, are beyond you. You don't grasp it. A chok, you never really grasp. Certain things you never really grasp. But most of the Torah is not chukim. So you're able to grasp it. Hashem gives you enough to be able to grasp. So this is the unbelievable connection that one has. The achdus, in the brackets, v'achdus zu nikeres b'yoser b'shar shemasig es asechol. That unity is recognized much more at the moment when you grasp it. At the moment of grasping. Sh'os nasa yichud mishnesan. Then there's unity from both sides. Ha'muskal nitfas u'buka b'soch asechol. The concept is grasped and surrounded within the intellect. U'ba b'shar, and at that moment, as you're finishing up the thinking, the mind is totally wrapped up in the concept. And that emphasizes that they cease to be two separate entities, sechel and muskel, intellect and concept. They became one, mikol tzavirim, from both sides. Till you can't tell who is surrounding and who is being surrounded. At that moment when that idea is just getting, it's now you've thought it through and it's getting into the brain. At that moment, you're totally absorbed in the concept and the concept is becoming totally absorbed within you. And that's unity from both sides. It's unity from both sides. Now, right? Clearly, it's totally, you have it. It's yours. It's not beyond you. You have brought it into your life and now it has grabbed you. Because now you live by that concept. It's on both ends, from the side of the intellect and from the side of the concept. They both, you don't know which one is surrounding which. It's totally unified. Yeah?
So what happens to a concept that's really outside of our ability to grasp, but we accept it totally. That's not yichud. Like I'm thinking of, for example, the concept that Hashem is outside of time.
So you can't totally
with total acceptance of that what we can't.
Those are concepts that you struggle with that. You know, and therefore, you know, what are the biggest struggles? You know, tzaddik v'ralo.
No, but if you don't, I'm saying if you struggle with it, it's one thing, but if you completely you accept it.
So you don't ask any more questions.
And you don't have any questions on it. But so the reason you have no questions is because you. I don't know, there are two reasons.
Well, you intellectually understand that it's true.
That's it.
But the concept is totally integrated.
Okay.
It's totally integrated.
But if somebody asks you to explain what that means, you can't.
That's okay, but an intelligent person can say some things cannot be explained.
Right. Okay.
Now, he doesn't talk about it here, but you can begin to appreciate what happens if you start exposing your mind to bad things. This is the big problem. You expose your mind to false ideologies. That used to be the problem 100 years ago. You know, socialism, communism, Marxism, all these ideas, Freud's understanding of the human psyche, all these things that are totally wrong, and you're integrating that into your mind, so that becomes part of you in a negative way. And there's a destruction of the mind. There is a unity of the mind in that way. Now that's on the side of the negative, but you cannot deny that it's there.
Right.
Once you've exposed yourself, talk about a nice Jewish boy starts reading things he shouldn't be reading. You know, you read these Harlequin romance books. Imagine Yeshiva Bacher stumbles upon one of those books. Nice Yeshiva Bacher. All of a sudden he realizes there's this whole world of romance. A Narishkeit, but it seems very real when you read it in the books. Then he starts thinking, you know, it's probably an important thing to hang around girls. Right? And that, now that becomes part of him. Right? That's why yeshivas are very particular that boys shouldn't, you know, about what they read and what they do, and, you know, have all these kinds of rules. But, you know, when a mind can be polluted as well, and you become totally absorbed in that. Person can be totally absorbed in these concepts that if you don't make a parnasa, you're going to die, and you have to make it happen, and you're totally absorbed in that. Then you know, there is a wondrous unity there. Now, it's not an inherent unity, because it's not supposed to be that way. That's not what your neshama is built for. But you can pollute it. That's what we talked about many, many weeks ago on Shabbos about the mitzvah of tefillin. The unique responsibility of tefillin has two concepts, right? Tefillin is, number one, has to be tightly bound to the human being, A, and B, whatever, you can't stop thinking about it. Can't be misiach das. Because the concept is, whatever comes into the mind retains it. So therefore you gotta be awfully careful. You can have a wondrous unity in the worst way. And once that's in there, it makes it difficult for Torah concepts to get in. It's a polluted mind. It becomes very hard for that to get in. So that's the, on the other hand, that's why you have to be so careful what you expose your children to. Right? So let's finish. It's very negative. It destroys the human being. You read, you learn information that is damaging to you. It's going to destroy you.
So who has the, I mean, we have the ability to distinguish between two, or this is coming from Hashem. Like somebody learns, they don't know if they learn the right thing or the wrong thing.
So that's why you have to have parents that send the kid to a school that teaches you the right thing. Child has no way of knowing.
Right. So if the parents have the wrong concepts, then you're going to inherit.
That's why the most important mitzvah is teaching your children Torah. It's right in the first lines of the Shema. You have to teach these concepts to your children. If you don't teach these concepts to your children, it's gonna wreck up their minds forever. And that's, you have a generation of children that are totally lost. And the problem is, it's an expression of the Gemara, it says, Shabeshta kivan de all. A mistake, once it's, been grasped into the person's life, it's in there. To uproot false ideologies is extremely difficult. What do they call that when they get these people out of the missionaries
to deprogram?
So to deprogram, you have to totally get the person to think differently, which is not easy. That's why the first thing that a child learns is going to be the strongest thing that they have, the purest mind. It's absorbing. Kids when they're young absorb everything. As you get older, there's so much junk inside of you, then it creates conflict in what you can absorb. In the beginning, a child is pure. They can mamish absorb everything, and that's your opportunity to put it all in. Right? So this is what can develop this tremendous unity, this close Yun Hashem. Zeh HaKesher Ben Seichel HaAdam Im Chachmasa Uretzono Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu Anotzer Adei Hasogas HaTorah. This is this connection with the intellect of the person and his wisdom and his desires that is formed through grasping Torah. Shu yichud niflin alokos. This is a wondrous unity with God. Shlomatzinu dugmaso b'shumin yachar. We don't find anything similar to that. Hirak aladei hasagas haTorah. Nasa adam miyuchad im alokos b'tzur kezu shechachmas v'sechol adam nasis chad mamish yuchas shal kadosh baruch hu mitzkol tzadapinu kesel baruch. Because only through the a comprehension of Torah does a person achieve, become one with Hashem in a way that the chachma and the wisdom of the person becomes one mamish with the wisdom of Hashem from every side. So let's take a look in footnotes 22 and 23. Footnote 22 says, Mikivan show rice of kuchabrichu kulachad, since the Torah and Hashem are totally one, as we've already explained, therefore, through this wondrous unity between the intellect of the person and his wisdom, nase yichud nifla, it develops a unique oneness, a uniqueness between the intellect of the person and Hashem himself. If Hashem and his wisdom are one, and he gives us the ability through our seichel to attach ourselves to his wisdom, then I believe that was called the associate property in math. Right? If Hashem and his wisdom are one, and you and Hashem's wisdom can become one, then you and Hashem can be one. If A equals B and C equals B, then A equals C. That's exactly why math has an associative property. This is the spiritual root between every concept in math has to be driven by a spiritual concept. And that's the whole reason this is the associative property, for another reason. A equals B, Hashem and his wisdom, A equals B. Hashem lets you study B, not A, but you can study B. So if C integrates B, then C equals A. That's the wondrous unity. Okay, he tells us to look in the Iyunim in Os Kuf Beis. That's right. The unit. So if you're a frum math teacher, you have to be a Talmud Chacham to teach math. You teach them the associative property of math. So why do we got to learn this, Rebbe? You got to learn this to know because it's important in your life. Right? That's what the associative property is. Okay, footnote Kuf Beis is in the back of the book, page Shin Samach Dalid. Shin Samach Dalid, the left-hand column. Right, almost in the middle. Kuf Beis. V'nimtza, comes out. Sheish ilui b'yichud nifla ha-notzer al-idei ha-saga satar l'gabe ha-sichlus b'chachmas acheres. Aha. So now, he's going to talk about the unique oneness that exists through the comprehension of Torah, as opposed to comprehending other information. So you could say, wait a minute, well, if I comprehend other information, it's going to be just as unique. He says, Bisharas haskalos, in other forms of intellect, Kishara masig esat muskol, when a person grasps the concept, Hare ha'isachtus hi rak im ha'chochmo, v'lo im adov ratzmo. There's no associative property, for him to say. There's a unity with the wisdom, but not with the thing itself. Kemola mashal, for example. Halomei chachmas hatchuna, a person is learning astronomy. So you're learning about stars. She'enem yis'achid im ha'galgalim. You're not unified with the constellations. You're not one with the constellation. Elaraki ma'chochma shebinyan, but with the wisdom of the constellation. When you learn that, you know, when the constellation's in a certain position in Nisan, right, that is the sheep. Okay, so you are at one with the wisdom. The wisdom is there, but you're not at one with the stars. The wisdom is describing other things, but you're not one with that thing. But let's say you learn a halacha. Learning halacha that an ir hanidachas has to be destroyed, even though it never happened. Shema'os halacha zu, the essence of halacha, hichach masa, returns to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That is the wisdom and the will of Hashem. Shehem kula chadim Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's all one with Hashem. Misachet lo rak im chach masa, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're not unifying just with the wisdom about Hashem, elagam ima Kodesh Baruch Hu, but with Hashem. That's the difference. When you're learning Torah, you're unifying with Hashem. Not only because the wisdom of Hashem and Hashem are inseparable. The wisdom about a star and the star are two separate items because the star doesn't think it's wisdom. When you could talk all day long about a star, you will not be unified with the star. You'll be unified with the knowledge about the star, but there's no connection, intimate connection with the star. Right, that's the difference, number one. Vayinod, b'malas ha-sagas chachmas ha-tar l'gabi shar chachmas. Okay, look at another sikha. Skip a couple lines. V'sham nizbaran over there, another sikha, Rebbe explains. Shigam ba'oifan ha-achtus, even in the fashion of the unity, yesh mala b'chachma ha-tar, there's a virtue in the chachma of Torah. Ki'achtas ha-miti sheyechas ra-kedusha. A true unity can only happen in holiness. V'o b'inyane ha-oilam shehem b'b'chinesh yeshu su-perit. not with things of this world, because those are concepts of Yeshus, that they exist, period, in their separation. Okay, that's a whole other thing. In other words, you know, things in this world, they appear to be on their own and separated from Hashem. So that's not Kedusha. Things of Kedusha all ultimately have a unity. So whatever you're learning in Torah, it's a total unity in everything. If you get totally into, let's say, you're totally into sports. All right, that's not holiness. Right? And that's a world of my own world, totally separated from Hashem, and separated from everything else. And that's not a true unity. It's its own world, not for you. And, you know, we'd have to go through the shmuz to understand what he's saying over there. But Kedusha has a unique unity. Things of Kedusha do not have a unique unity. Kedusha is something that's totally connected with Hashem and connected with everything else that's holy in the world. Physical things, they're all separate. It's Olam HaPirud. Everything is its own thing. And there's conflict within the different things in this world. I learn about hockey. I learn about making money. Everything in this world, if it's not in the world of Kedusha, it creates conflict because it's its own entity. This is its own entity. You know, let's say you're in a relationship with two people, but it's not a relationship of Kedusha. It's a business relationship. It's a what's in it for me relationship. So then there's always going to be conflict because there's me and there's him and what I want as opposed to what he wants. There's no Kedusha there. That's the problem with non-Jewish marriages. Non-Jewish marriages, the husband comes in with what he wants. The wife comes in with what he wants. No matter how much you know about the other spouse, it's still, that is a separate entity from me and I'm a separate entity. We'll have some common benefits with each other, but an ultimate unity can never be because at the end of the day, my spouse wants what's best for her and I want what's best for me. There's no ultimate unity. Any other information? Now, a lot of things, you could take things and you could look at the godly part of it or the non-godly part of it. You could look at a tree and see the Kedusha in a tree. You could look at a tree and see the non-Kedusha in the tree. And that's, look more into our Parsha class on the Mitzvah of Tzitzis that discusses this at great length. How do you view things? Well, that depends on how you view things. And the Mitzvah of Tzitzis helps a lot in that area. But if it's a Jewish marriage, it's a binding of two souls. Soul is a holy, that's a holy thing. A soul is a chelek elokami mal. It's a portion of God on high. So now how do we unite a husband and a wife? Same way, you know, it's got to be through Torah in one fashion or another. The marriage itself is the Ratzon Hashem. See, what can enable the marriage? Here's the point. Do non-Jews have a mitzvah to get married? It's not one of the seven Noahid laws. They have a mitzvah to be moral, but not a mitzvah to be married. I mean, a man can only live with one, well, not necessarily, but they have to be together and loyal to each other. Right? They're together, per se, but it's not one of the seven Noahid laws to get married. If a goy does not want to get married, it's fine. There's no aspect of kiddushin and nisuin within a marriage. They just live together. And as far as goyim are concerned, common law is fine. Common law is fine. As long as, you know, you end up with the same person all the time. That's fine. But it could be any kind of arrangement you want. It could be a partnership. It could be a corporation. It could be whatever you want. There is a concept of morality. Morality. As long as you two are together, nobody else should be involved. You don't want to be together? Then separate and goodbye. You don't have to have any formal action to get married. You don't need any formal action to sever that relationship. There's no mitzvah for a non-Jew to be married. Not even a mitzvah to be fruitful and multiply. There's no mitzvah. Judaism, the mitzvah of getting married is not the mitzvah of getting married like a goy. Getting married means there's a procedure that goes on under the chuppah called the kiddushin, an erusin, a kiddushin, a nisuin, which transcends the realms of the physical. And it now merges the two souls together. There's an official merging of the two souls, a recognition that the two souls are coming together. And therefore, there is an intense unity potential that exists now that cannot exist in the non-Jewish world. It's not body to body, it's soul to soul. And within the context of that merging, there is supposed to be a wondrous unity between a husband and a wife too. But that can only happen if you've allowed God, when you have that kiddush, it's what does it say? That they should become lebasar echad, they should be one flesh. How can they be one flesh? How can one flesh? So Rashi is one flesh through the child that they have, which is true. But that the husband and wife are meant to become mamish one flesh. How is that? Well, you gotta go back to all the marriage classes. But basically, as we've said, that the male has strength in certain mitos and weaknesses in others, and the wife is the opposite. So they're both imbalanced people. And more than that, to the degree that you're imbalancing your mitos, to that degree you can't really be connected to Hashem either. And then the lifelong pursuit of marriage is to fix up each one's imbalances till they're each one similar unit of mitos. That's a spiritual thing. And now they're totally one. Each, and you coming into marriage without any yeshus, without any me-ness. It's, I'm getting married for one reason, to totally give to the other person. The other one's getting totally married to totally give to me. I want to incorporate all their positive talents into my existence. And the same thing for my spouse. And the connection is on a totally spiritual level, although there's physical aspects we can't ignore. But the spiritual aspect is what brings us together. And that can have that wondrous unity where the ish has the letter yud and the woman, isha, has the letter hey, and the yud and the hey come together. And now they can mamish be connected with Hashem. You have to understand, Gemara says, a man without a wife is a man without Torah. A man without Torah is a man without a connection to Hashem. If you want to be able to get close to Hashem, you know, it's almost impossible to do it if you're single. If you've never been married, it's almost impossible to do that. The Gemara says it. I didn't say it. A man without a wife is a man without Torah. So if you're a man without Torah, forget it. There's no unity there. Why? Because till we get married, there's a tremendous yeshus. It's me. Self-absorption. Self-absorption, how much do you think you can integrate things outside yourself? You know, not everybody's a Ben Azai who loves Hashem so much they can't get married because they love Hashem so much. Generally speaking, a person who's single, you know, by fault or no fault of their own, it becomes more self-absorbed. That's all there is to it. You can't deny that. You become more self-absorbed. You know, learning Torah is not such an interesting thing because you got to be absorbed into the other concept that's there. So that's going to make it hard. But if you get married and you go through the Jewish process of what marriage is all about, and you're understanding there's supposed to be a unity between the man and the wife, then the Torah you're learning is a different kind of a Torah as well. And that's a Torah that you're learning to connect to Hashem as well. So this is the difference. So therefore, when you're getting married, we're trying to achieve a wondrous unity as well. Jewish marriage is trying to reach this yichud nifla. This wondrous unity as well. That only happens on a soul level, not on a body level. Where they're totally in sync, one with each other, and bounded through the intellect of Hashem. If a husband is sharing a godly value with a wife, and they're both in sync with that godly value, then all three of them are now bound together. All three of them are bound together. Well, if he's just finishing that footnote, Lashon Rabbeinu, the words of the Rebbe, Lo ke'erchein, lero ke'erka, nimsa klal gashim. There's nothing like it in the physical realm. Kol gamas haskol of asug, v'nyan gashim. Even the understanding, the mental activities of understanding physical objects also don't compare. She'na yichud behem kuma yichud b'asug haskol v'asug. It's not the same unity. So even if you're exposing yourself to bad things, you still aren't one with the thing. You're one, you know, you have a unity with the intellect of the thing, but not with the thing. Right? And again, since it's not Kedusha, you're never really at one with it. It's the world of separation. Even within that context, it's the world of separation. Because there's so many other things competing in your mind. And that's where you get people with all kinds of psychological problems. With Torah, there's no psychological problems. It's a natural fit for you to be one with Hashem, and that keeps you a healthy human being. And the more you have a oneness with Hashem, everything else in this world is meant to be integrated into that oneness as well. When you begin to understand Hashem, what His hopes and aspirations for the world are, sort of Cook talks a lot about this, that this unity has to go beyond yourself. goes, you know, it's Hashem, it's your wife, it's your kids, then it's Klal Yisrael, then it's the world, then it's the environment. Everything becomes unified. Because it's all part of Hashem's Chachma. And therefore the person has a total unity, really, with the entire world, insofar, that that rest of the world represents God's Chachma. And that person is totally at ease with every situation that comes in life. If you're totally bound up with Hashem's Chachma, you mamish are totally bound up with Hashem's Chachma. You're the one with Hashem's Chachma. You mamish think like Hashem. Okay. So is it going to bother you that your boss at work is threatening to fire you? He says, what does he have to do with anything? Hashem is running the world. Hashem is just bringing this situation in my life. Obviously, it's for my best interest. So what am I nervous about? How could I be nervous? Ella, what? If you are, you're not at one with God and His knowledge. You can learn it a million times and still didn't get into your brain. And there's all kinds of preconditions necessary to learn Torah the way it's meant to be. Right? You gotta learn Torah Lishma. There's all kinds, not just open up a sefer, it goes in. There's all kinds of preconditions. There's 48 ways to attain the Keser Torah. Now you understand why it's called the Keser Torah? In Pirkei Avos it's called the Keser Torah. The crown of Torah is above everything else. A Keser. Keser refers to the will. There's Torah and the Keser Torah. Torah is the information. Keser is the will of Hashem. Are you learning the will of Hashem or are you just learning information? Torah says you have to have emunah. Okay, but the Keser Torah means you live with that emunah. So there's 48 steps to get to the Keser Torah. It's not just you open up the book. Finished. I got it. You got to go without those 48. That's what Shavuos, the whole 7 weeks of Shavuos, is to get the Keser Torah. That's when the Jews at Sinai, each mouth gave them two crowns. That means they were totally connected to the concept at that point in time. And there's a total unity within everything in your life because there's a unity with you and Hashem. If there's a total unity within you and Hashem, this whole world is just the Chachma of Hashem. So how could anything get you upset? If you're mamish one with Hashem, that oneness spreads into everything. As you're going to go out of this room, you're with Hashem. That Chachma of Hashem is with you every aspect of your life. So this person is making your life crazy, you laugh. They say, this is obviously Hashem is working on me to develop my midos. Thank you very much. And I just want to know, what am I supposed to do? So we got a little bit to work on. So you can chew on this for a couple of weeks till we meet again in another week. Have a good Erev Shabbos.